Welcome to the CLT Podcast, a series all about things related to learning and teaching in higher education, brought to you by the Centre for Learning and Teaching at Leeds Beckett University. In this episode, I'll be talking with Belinda Cook about the experiences and influences that have shaped her teaching. Wherever you may be listening from, we hope you enjoy. Hello everyone, I'm Andy Bedford, the host of the CLT podcast. Today we're talking about teaching practices. Teaching practices develop over time. Along the journey, there can be many influences and experiences that shape how a teacher teaches. In this podcast, we will gain an insight into the influences and experiences that have inspired some of the teachers here at Leeds Beckett University. Today I'm talking with Belinda Cook to find out what has influenced her approach to teaching. Belinda is a CLT associate and former head of subject for physical education in the Carnegie School of Sport. As an associate of the Centre for Learning and Teaching, she supports and develops excellent academic practice on a wide variety of initiatives, including staff development programmes and the HEA Advanced HE Fellowship Schemes, with a particular focus on supporting colleagues to enjoy teaching through offering a high quality student experience and diversification in how we learn with our students. Welcome, Belinda.
Thank you.
Belinda, to start off with, how would you describe your approach to teaching in higher education?
I think I'd describe it as very enthusiastic. I am normally teaching subjects that are very applied and practical, and even now working with the Centre for Learning and Teaching, I think I approach the development sessions that I'm involved in very enthusiastically. One of my first school reports said, Belinda bubbles with enthusiasm. She is occasionally too hasty, however. And I don't think that's really changed. I have learnt to temper my enthusiasm, especially when I got some feedback from some nice first year students who told me that it was a little bit scary at times. But people like Sally Brown have been very influential in encouraging me to not lose that enthusiasm, to not temper it too much, even though she warned me quite rightly that sometimes people will think that what you're doing is, she described it as people might see you as a Pollyanna if you come across as too enthusiastic. But it's very clear to me from the feedback I get from my lovely colleagues and from students that actually being enthusiastic and highly motivated is one of the things that they most value about my approach. I soon learned when I was teaching in school as well that if I wasn't enthusiastic about my subject, then there were an awful lot of young people who didn't approach physical education, which is my subject, or was initially, with enthusiasm. And so I set about trying to ensure that as many of them as possible enjoyed the subject, and then I've continued that in higher education. How can we enjoy learning, and if it's not fun, right, what are we going to change now to make it more fun?
Belinda, you mentioned there about people that have influenced you, including Sally Brown. Who or what has fundamentally influenced your teaching?
Yes, there are some people whose work has really made me think differently about what I do. So certainly, first of all, that would be Sally Brown. Sally Brown made me a teacher fellow at Leeds Beckett, was Leeds Met then, in 2008. And suddenly I was amongst people who were just as enthusiastic as me about teaching and learning, but also incredibly focused on the evidence base associated with how people learn and what we need to do to create effective learning environments. And she's just brilliant at that. She seems to know pretty much everything that's ever been written about teaching and learning, especially in higher education. And I would very much commend her website, which is a mine of useful information. She's just recently put a collection together that she calls her COVID collection about the move to online learning. But the other main thing about Sally that influenced me was that she believes that assessment, if we get assessment right, everything else will follow. so much so that what we called learning, teaching and assessment, she turned on its head and called it out, assessment, learning and teaching. And just to reinforce the central role that assessment plays. And I think a lot of that is borne out by Graham Gibbs' work. So that was really important in terms of making me think about getting the assessment right, because that's what helps to motivate and structure learning. The second most important influence probably would be Roy Sadler. Roy Sadler was, I think he may still be based at Griffiths University, but he's done lots and lots of work on assessment too, but particularly on formative assessment and how important that is. So, for example, he there's a very interesting interview with him that's easily accessible via YouTube, where he talks about standards in higher education. And he talks about the fact that, and it seems very obvious, but it wasn't something I'd considered properly previously, that students can't control the quality of their work, which is something we expect them to do, really, if they don't know how we judge quality. And he calls it letting students into the secret. And so I went to a number of masterclasses that he ran and then started avidly reading his work, which is very applied. So he gives lots of examples of interventions that he's led to help students to develop that sort of expertise, to be able to just initially put pieces of work into an order of which one do you think is the best and why, but then to help them start to interrogate the sorts of language that we use when we're making judgments about their work, so that they can make those judgments for themselves. And that was a turning point for me, in the sense that I started doing lots and lots more formative assessment, and I made a point of trying to do everything I could to ensure that students had as clear an idea as possible of how we were going to make judgments about whatever they were submitting for assessment. I guess the final thing was learning that that we mustn't blame students. Therefore, we have a tendency, I think, if sometimes to say, well, the students haven't engaged properly. And that may be the case occasionally, but I think if students have not been happy on a module that you've been leading and perhaps not done as well as you might like them to have done, then we should always look first to ourselves. And I guess they're the most important things that I've learned.
Glenda, can you recall any moments that made you change the way you thought about teaching?
Yes, I can, and not all of them are very comfortable. So. As a first year student at University of Birmingham, studying physical education, which is a subject that I loved, but which my father had warned me would lead to me never getting a job because nobody would employ me with a degree in physical education. But nevertheless, I proved him wrong. But my first assignment that I had to hand in was on psychology of sport. It was about development of skill in sport. And I worked really hard for it, spent a long time in the library. And the person who led the module was a renowned expert in skill in sport. Unfortunately, they're no longer with us, and quite scary. And so I read all her books about skill in sport, because she was much published. And of course, they were the main books on the reading list for the module. And so I produced this, what I thought was a wonderful assignment, with lots and lots of work from her books in it. And that had got me a good marks at A level, regurgitating lots of stuff that I'd found from lots of different places and putting it back into some sensible order. Anyway, when I got the work back, in red, it had a great big F, fail. And it just had the comment, plagiarism is a serious academic offence, Belinda. And I was completely mortified and distraught. I didn't even know what plagiarism was. I had to go away and look it up. Fortunately, our students should never have that experience, because we work very hard to explain to them why they need to reference other people's work and acknowledge that they're other people's ideas. But that was quite an important first experience. And then I think, as I mentioned earlier, I was quite upset to learn from students that they found me a bit scary in my early days of teaching in HE, because I don't think I was scary when I was teaching in schools. But I think that was partly because I made that classic mistake of thinking it's higher education, so I need to be tough and set really high standards. And gradually I learned that, yeah, I do need to set high standards, but actually, first and foremost, I need to be really supportive and trust my instincts and be kind to students and to expect that not always would they have had time to read things, or they might miss some sessions, or they might turn up a bit late. So I got those were important experiences, I think, that both for myself and then in terms of feedback for students.
What are you currently focusing on to develop your teaching practices?
I've been trying hard to, when I was still working in the School of Sport, do a much better job of listening more and talking less. And that's difficult when you're very enthusiastic. So I have to sometimes make a conscious effort that I will not talk for the next 2 or 3 minutes. I simply will not talk. I will observe. And at most, I will go around and potentially have quiet words with individuals, but I will not stop the class or expect people to listen to me. I love noisy classrooms. And so, you know, if we stop to talk as well, people sometimes expect that therefore they must be quiet. Indeed, we expect that of them. So, yeah, I guess to sum that up, listen more and talk less. But the main job of work that I was working on before I moved to work with Centre for Learning and Teaching, but have tried to continue in terms of encouraging others to do the same, is to allow students to take the lead much more, but to support them so they're confident in doing that. And that requires a lot of work to get to know what expertise our students bring with them, what experiences they've had previously, and therefore you do need conversations with individuals. And you do need to provide opportunities for them to share comfortably those experiences with others, because not only do those things sometimes surprise you, but it's not that unusual for a student to know more about something than you do yourself. Even you might consider yourself to be an expert. And that's particularly true in subjects like physical education and sport, of course, where some of them may be operating at very high levels, or in the case of some of the teaching that I would do, they may have a family member, for example, who has a disability, and they've worked to support that family member to participate in physical education and school sport, and can tell us from firsthand experiences mistakes we might make or misunderstandings that we might have that we can learn an awful lot from. So they're the two main things, I think, learning from our students, but allowing them more scope to do things themselves without interfering quite so much.
Belinda, you've provided us with a great insight into your teaching practices. Can you think of a challenge which you could set to our listeners of the CLT podcast to try within their own higher education teaching practices?
I think one of them might relate to what I was just saying, and I do recognise that there are a lot of my colleagues, lovely colleagues at Leeds Beckett, who already involve their students much more successfully than I think I have done in the past. But I think it's also about involving your colleagues. So, for example, some of the most useful experiences I've had is where and this has been quite rare, where I've had opportunities to teach alongside a colleague, where we've perhaps had double the number of students, but both of us in a teaching space together. And so a challenge I would set is to try to find ways in which you can not necessarily observe your colleagues, although that might be what you end up doing, but actually teach with them. And there are ways to do that without needing more resource, because I do think it provides a much richer environment for learning for students. Our students seem to really like it, but I just loved teaching with other people. It's so exciting, and you completely automatically then talk together and reflect deeply on what's just happened when the session's finished, and you get together and plan things beforehand, because it's useful to at least have an idea of who might do what at what sort of time. So to find more ways to teach or to closely interact with colleagues in a teaching and learning environment, I think is really powerful. And the work that I've been doing for my PhD, where I've been looking very closely at the claims that people put together for their own teaching excellence when they're seeking fellowship, shows me that the work that CLT does to try to put people in touch with others who are doing similar work is definitely how we can most make a difference about sharing the expertise that we already have. And indeed, Graham Gibbs, going back to him, who wrote something that I think many colleagues may know about, but a really excellent comprehensive review called Dimensions of Quality, really wide ranging, full of evidence, concluded at the end of that it's not about the resource we have, it's about what we do with that resource. And we have a tremendous resource in our people, in our colleagues, and also in our students. And so I think it's finding ways, and I've given some examples, to capitalize on that resource, that human resource that we have such a richness of at Leeds Beckett.
Belinda, thank you for talking to us today, and thank you for sharing your experiences and the influences that have helped to shape your teaching.
You're welcome. I've very much enjoyed it. Thank you.
To listen to more in our podcast series, click on the subscribe button. And to keep up to date with the Centre for Learning and Teaching at Leeds Beckett University, follow us on Twitter @LeedsBeckettCLT. Thank you for tuning in.